What a mighty, wonderful, powerful God we serve. It's so important that we keep to the doctrines of the Bible. And this morning I wanted to look at one of the great doctrines of the Bible, the great doctrines of the church, that we must not lose sight of. It's so easy to become too complicated, but essentially the Bible is simple. And this doctrine is rooted in Leviticus, one of the great seedbeds of the Bible. It's interpreted in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, but Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. This is a key verse. And it says this, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the souls." From the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, we see a trail of blood. It begins in the Garden of Eden, when man sins and betrays God, and the glory departs from them, and God has to come and clothe them with skins. And what he is doing is speaking to them in picture language. He slays an animal. The blood pours from that animal, the life goes back to God, and the covering. God is showing that when sin comes, death comes. The wages of sin is death. And that every time death comes, the only thing that can pay for it is life. And he clothed them in skins. And we see also in the book of Revelation, when Jesus comes back, he's clothed in a robe dipped in blood. Blood is central to the doctrine of the Bible. And it's centered to our faith as Christians, and it's powerful. Thank God. When we know what happened at the cross and the power of the blood of Jesus, we can live a victorious Christian life. Amen. We have victory over the devil. Amen. We have victory over sin. We have victory over condemnation because the price was paid 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. In Eden, God showed man the way forward. An animal was slain. We see quickly afterwards that the story of Cain and Abel. We see that Abel brought the offering that God desired, but Cain brought the work of his own hands. It was a bloodless offering. Many today seek to bring a bloodless offering. They don't believe in the old doctrines of the church. They don't believe we have to come through the blood of Jesus. They think we can make up our own religion. We were talking to someone a couple of nights ago. We went out for a meal, and we said what we were believers, and we were preachers of God's word. And this lady said, "Well, faith is whatever you want to make it." But it's not true, is it? Faith is not what we want to make it, because it doesn't matter what we believe in if it isn't true. Faith is believing in something that is solid and true, and we base our faith on the word of God and what he says. Thank God his word is truth from the beginning. We can believe every word that is written in this book. This book has outseen more of its critics than any other book. I think it was Voltaire, the French philosopher, who said, "Within 10 years, the Bible will be a museum piece." But today Voltaire is a museum piece, but the Bible still remains. They've tried to destroy it. The Romans sought to burn every copy and ban it. The communists sought to do it. Dictators today across the world are seeking to destroy this book. But Jesus said, Matthew 24 verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." Thank God. Hallelujah. The things we see around us will pass away, but everything of our life we build upon this word is eternal. Hallelujah. And as we were hearing in that song, 10,000 years, it's a wonderful thought, 10,000 years from today, we that know and love the Lord will be in his presence forever praising him. And I want to tell you, the problems of this present time will be totally irrelevant. Thank God we need to see things in perspective. We go through mountaintops and valleys, difficulties and persecutions. But all of those things are irrelevant in the face of eternity. Thank God we keep our eyes on him in the midst of them. We see in Cain and Abel that Cain, the Bible says of him in the New Testament that because Abel brought an offering that was accepted, but he sought to bring the work of his own hands. And it says in the New Testament, he rose up and slew his brother. And it's very interesting, the word that it uses is usually used for sacrificial slaying. And what Cain actually did, he was angry with God. He said, you won't accept the work of my hands. And he said, I will give you a blood offering. And he rose up and slew his brother. The true offering that God wants is an offering of blood. And the Bible is full of blood. We see the great blood covenants. So significant, the covenant that God made with Abraham. An animal was slain into two parts and the blood flowed. It was a unique covenant that God made with Abraham because God himself passed between those two parts of an animal. And Abraham was not involved in that sense, but it was a promise that God made to Abraham that was unconditional. And he gave him the land. And whatever you may hear on the news, whatever is going on today, God has given them the land and one day they're going to own it, much greater than it is today. Hallelujah. They're going to stay there although they're surrounded by enemies. Israel is going to stay there because they've been put there by God. And it is a sign of the authenticity of the Bible that Israel is there today. Do you know, in the 18th and 19th century, most people did not believe Israel could ever come back to the land, but there were some great scholars of the Bible that looked at the scriptures and they saw that this was going to happen and they wrote it down. Some of them, even through the prophetic scripture, actually wrote some of the dates that it was going to happen, and they were accurately fulfilled. It's a miracle that they're in the land today. God got them there. He's protected them. They are going to stay there, and the hand of God is upon them as a nation. Hallelujah. Thank God for his word. The great covenant, they were sealed with blood. That meant they were permanent. That meant that they were serious. They were legal covenants. Thank God for the great covenant of the Bible. We see it in the tabernacle. Everything was covered with blood. Hebrews 9 verse 22 says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. They would take the blood, they would sprinkle the vessels, they would sprinkle the priests, they would sprinkle the whole tabernacle. Blood flowed. When the temple of Solomon was dedicated, I think it was something like 200,000 animals that were slain. Blood flowed up until their ankles. There was blood because it spoke. Firstly, it pointed forward to the sacrifice that Jesus was going to make at Calvary. But second, it showed the awfulness of sin in God's eyes and what a cost it was to him. And we need to be forever reminded of that. Rivers of blood flowed, but they were fingers pointing forward to the cross. We see also the story in the land of Egypt when God brought them out of bondage, out of the land of Egypt. And he said on that last plague, he said, all the firstborn shall die except those that put the blood on the lintels and on the doorposts, and also those that eat the lamb and take the lamb within. Thank God that when they put the blood, whether they were a stranger or whether they were of God's people, if they put the blood on the door, the angel of death passed over and they were untouched. That was the power that was in the blood. Hallelujah. And it pointed forward to the cross. Thank God for Jesus. No wonder John the Baptist looked at him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He knew all about the Old Testament lambs that had to be spotless and pure. And all the symbolism was there throughout the Old Testament, kept for 3 days before they were sacrificed. A day is as 1,000 years in God's eyes. In due time, at the end of 3,000 years, Christ died for the ungodly. He was a pure, perfect sacrifice. His blood was unique. Nobody in all of history could have taken our place but the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was both God and man, he took the nature of humanity from Mary. He did not take the sin nature, but he took the nature of humanity. He became like you and I. He understands what it is to be human, to hunger, to be weak, to be tired, to be accused. He's been in a fleshly body. He knows what it's like to be you and me. But yet he also had that seed of divinity, and God was his father. Mary impregnated by the power of the Holy Ghost. These doctrines are vital to our faith, and any man who doesn't believe in the virgin birth should not be in the pulpit. It's audacity to stand in the place of a man of God and declare the great doctrines of the Bible are not true. And if we don't believe those things, then the whole message is without power. But thank God we have experienced since God called us into ministry, that these great truths are as powerful today as they have ever been. The blood of Jesus, when you are standing in the face of spiritual forces that stand against you, the blood of Jesus has never-ending power, and it defeats the devil every time. Praise his wonderful name. His blood was unique. It was without sin. And thank God that blood was for us. Jesus became flesh. God clothed himself in flesh, became as a man, and he went to the cross of Calvary. He did it for you and I. It was a sacrificial, a substitutionary death. He took your place and my place. When he hung upon that cross, God the Father allowed to come upon him, just like the Old Testament lamb, they would lay their head upon that lamb. Their guilt would be imputed. When we look to Christ and believe in him, our guilt is imputed to Christ. That's what happens when we're saved. We put our hand upon the lamb and our sin is imputed. And all of that sin was dealt with 2,000 years ago upon the cross. And when Jesus cried out, having suffered upon that cross, "It is finished," it meant to test you, perfectly complete and utterly done. There is nothing that we can do to add to our salvation. Jesus did it 2,000 years ago. It is utterly complete. It was once for all. We cannot add to it. We cannot do anything to make it more relevant. All we have to do is believe it and accept it and live it. Thank God for what Jesus did at Calvary. Hallelujah. When we pray, we stand on redemption ground. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's brought us out of the hand of slavery, out of Satan's power, out of eternal punishment. He's translated us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We are his children because of the blood. We're redeemed from sin because of the blood. We're delivered from oppression because of the blood of Jesus. He did it all upon the cross and made a way back. I want to tell you, 1 Peter 1 verse 19 says, "We were redeemed not with corruptible things like silver or gold." I don't know how many of you at home have got ingots of gold or a lot of gold. Probably not many of us. But if we have got it, we would certainly value it. We would keep it safe. It would be precious to us. But Peter says, he says, "I want to remind you, what you have been redeemed with is far more precious than silver or gold. It is the precious blood, as of a lamb, without spot and without blemish." That is the value that God places on you. Listen, the devil demeans, depresses, discourages, but Jesus comes to lift us up, and he wants us to know that we have a value that is so high that he was willing for his own blood to flow on that cross of Calvary because he thought so much of you. So when the devil tells you that you're nothing and that there's no hope for you and that you've all your problems are bigger than God is, talk back to him and said, "God values me so much that he shed the blood of his own son. I am worth something to him." Hallelujah. As Christians, we are not proud, but we hold our heads high because of what God did for us on the cross of Calvary. And we will not be put down. Hallelujah. The power of that blood speaks of eternal purpose. We're reminded when Jesus, even before he came to the cross, that the sweats of blood came upon his brow. And as we think of that, we think every drop of that blood was shed with a purpose. And God wants us to know this morning, for those going through tremendous stress, several times in history, it has been accounted under the most intense stress that people sweat, the blood vessels burst and their sweat becomes as drops of blood. God wants us to know he understands what it is to be stressed, to know mental anguish. And that blood paid the price that we might be free. If you have a need in your mind today, the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to deal with it. Hallelujah. Amen. As the blood came on the thorns that were pressed into his brow, we are reminded that Jesus bore the curse that came. And one day, the Bible says, as a result of the cross, even creation is going to be delivered from futility. This creation, it's absolutely wonderful. I am awestruck by creation. When you look, I look at the tiny detail in a flower and I am awestruck. I'm a gardener by profession. But every time I see a flower, I'm awestruck at the wonder of it, the patterns, the colours. And it's just amazing. And when you look at the whole of nature, some years ago we were going on holiday and we were waiting on the port 7 o'clock in the morning to go to the Greek island. And as we looked out over the water, still and perfect and clear, and the sun was rising, I looked out and I thought, my God created this and he wants me to see it. You know, I'm terrible. When I do a job, when I weed the garden and cut the lawn and make the edges nice, I want people to see it. And I like to take them round and show them how wonderful it is. I think God's like that. He loves us to see his wonderful creation. What a wonderful creation he's made, but it's just a shadow. This is not the glory of the way God made it. And one day it is going to be liberated when Jesus comes back and we're going to see the most glorious, wonderful creation as it was always meant to be. As the blood flowed on those thorns, it was paying a price. We're reminded the blood flowed down the body of Jesus, because before he even went to the cross, the Bible says he was whipped and beaten and lashed, and that by those stripes we are healed. As the blood flowed down his body, thank God, he bore the price of physical healing. Yes, we know frailty as human beings. Yes, we are attacked because our bodies were subject to the fall, and from time to time sickness comes. But thank God, Jesus made a way that healing is possible. I thank God so many times that God has reached to me in the midst of pain, and a touch from his hand has made me whole. I thank God for doctors, for medicine, for the medical profession. God uses them mightily and heals us that way. But I thank God also that he heals through miracles. And we have seen so many miracles. When the doctor cannot help, thank God we have a heavenly physician, Dr. Jesus. And he can help and he can make whole. Hallelujah. We have a God that heals, the same yesterday, today and forever, paid for by his own blood. Hallelujah. As his blood dropped down upon the ground, we are reminded that Jerusalem, that holy city, is one day going to fully be redeemed. And Jesus himself is going to sit upon that throne in Jerusalem and rule over the nations of the world. Many people are demoralized and discouraged with human government. The day is coming when it's coming to an end, and Jesus shall reign over the nations of the world. What a day that will be. Hallelujah. And mainly we remember, as we think of what happened upon that cross, that as his blood flowed, it was paying for everything that you and I have ever done wrong. We do not realize the depravity of our own natures at times. But in God's eyes, we are closed off from him by our own sin. But thank God that through the blood of Jesus, there is cleansing. In Revelation, it speaks of those who come out of the great tribulation, but their robes are washed white by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God this morning we have all done things that we are ashamed of. But thank God in Christ our robes are washed white with his blood. If your conscience needs to be cleansed this morning, even as a believer, you know the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. He's quick to remind us of past sins, quick to bring up things. But thank God when we think of the blood, we are washed white in that blood. We need to stand on these eternal doctrines. Revelation 12 verse 11, they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their confession, and they loved not their lives unto death. They knew what happened upon the cross, that Jesus had died for them. Their sins were dealt with. They had victory in Christ, and their confession, they agreed with God. They believed what he said and they declared it. Hallelujah. This is the salvation that God has proclaimed. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Paul reminds us through his letters, you know, we're redeemed. We have been bought with a price. We belong to him. We need to stand on redemption ground. It isn't about how we feel when we get up in the morning. It isn't about what may be going on in our life. It's about what this word says about who we are and what Christ has done for us on Calvary. And we need to come back to the ground of the word of God and declare that through the blood of Jesus, we have victory over all the works of the devil. Hallelujah. We have an enemy. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We see his work all around us in the world. And we need to be on our toes. We need to be spiritually aware, because we suffer attack in our lives. Sometimes it's natural. Sometimes God is building our faith up, and without resistance, without attacks, without problems, our faith would never grow. I was trained in horticulture, and one lesson that I never forgot was this. There was a row of trees right down the field in the place where I lived, a lovely avenue of trees, and they had stakes in. And they'd left these stakes there all over the years instead of taking them out, and one day they decided they would take the stakes out. And a couple of days later, a couple of weeks later, there was a wind, and every single tree fell over, the whole row. And what had happened was the trees had relied upon the stakes. And so their roots had not gone down deep because they were used to being completely held up. In life, God allows difficulties because he wants our roots to go deep so that when the winds of adversity come, we will not be swayed. We are going to stand strong as believers in the light of adversity that comes against us. Some things God allows. Some difficulties just come in life. But other things come from the hand of the enemy, and we need to know when to stand against him. I remember one night when I woke up in the middle of the night and suddenly my neck had gone, and it was the most intense agony. And I sort of managed to get myself out of bed, and I was thinking, what am I going to do? I can't get a dog to the middle of the night. And the thought just came into my mind, this is the devil. And I said, I command you, devil, to go. And in a split second, I went from being in intense agony to being perfectly normal. It's very hard to think how it works, to understand it, but we have a very real spiritual battle. And the devil hates each one of us as believers, and we need to recognize at times we have to deal with that devil. And we have to stand and make a real stand against it. I always remember the story of Smith Wigglesworth, who told of a woman who had a dog. And one day when she was having to go to work, she went to the bus stop and the dog had followed her. And she patted its head and said, go home, darling. But the dog didn't go. And she patted its head again and said, please just go home now and stay in the garden. But the dog didn't move. And then she saw the bus coming and she stamped her foot and she said, get home now. And the dog toddled off. Listen, that's the way we've got to deal with the devil. Amen. He doesn't listen to nice talk. We've got to put our foot down and we've got to use the authority that God has given us. There's power in the blood of Jesus this morning. Let me just read a few verses to you. Ephesians and chapter 1. And verse 7. It says, in him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. That means we've been bought. We're owned by him. Paul goes on to remind us, we're not our own. We have been bought with a price. We are redeemed. We belong to God. We're his property. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace that he made abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Going on into Hebrews in chapter 9. And in verse 11 it says, Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. When Jesus rose from the dead and Mary and the disciples came to him and he said, do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. That sacrifice could not be touched. Jesus then ascended up to the Father and his own blood was offered upon our behalf. Then he came back down and appeared, and after 40 days he went up to heaven and sent down the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. His blood was presented before the Father. That blood is there this morning, here. It's as powerful as when Jesus shed it upon the cross. And when he shed it upon the cross, the Bible says a number of things. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What was happening? Number of things. Number one, God was saying the old system is over. God is no longer in a temple that is made with man's hands. He now lives in his people. That's why the fire came down on Pentecost. It was filling people and filling the church with his glory. It is no longer about physical temples. The glory left the old system because there was a new covenant coming in that did not take away the old but superseded it and fulfilled it and embraced it and made it completely whole. The new covenant fills the whole Bible. Hallelujah. There's one covenant that we have in Christ. Thank God that the blood of Jesus is the power. It represented the fact the old was gone, the new had come. And secondly, it meant that there was no longer a division between man and God. But now there can be intimacy of fellowship. No longer just the high priest that went in once a year to the place where the very visible presence of God was. But now each one of us, through the blood of Jesus, can come boldly into the presence of God and stand before the Father. What a wonderful gospel that we have. We do not realize how blessed we are because of what Jesus did. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God. We're going to pray this morning for any that are in need because we believe there is power in the name of Jesus. And when we ask him in faith and do not doubt in our heart, whatever we ask, believing, we shall receive it. It may not be instant, but it's on its way. If we ask believing according to the word and will of God. Does God want to heal me? When we look in this word, we say yes. Yes, we have questions we may not understand. But this is the undergirding rule. If you want to have faith, you've got to get back to this word. And we see from the beginning of the Bible to the end that God is a loving God that loves to heal his people. The ultimate healing's when we go to be with him. Don't be too disturbed if you're praying for someone and God takes them home. That is the greatest healing that anyone could receive. And they'll never look back and never want to come back. And those that God has sent back, we know Ian McCormack, who died and went to heaven, he didn't really want to come back and he can't wait to get back there. It's the ultimate healing. But while we're here on earth, we want to be healed, we want to be free from pain, we want to have energy and strength because we want to fulfill the Great Commission and go out with the gospel. And so we say, Lord, I give you my body, my strength, everything that I am, and I curse every sickness and disease because I want with the best of my ability to serve you. Never see disease as a blessing from God. It's a curse. And we need to recognize that. We need to be undergirded by the truth that God wants to heal us. We need to do everything that we can to receive from God a miracle. Do the practical things, eat right, look after ourselves, take the things that we need to take. God heals through miracles, he heals through medicine, but he wants us whole whatever way he does it. Hallelujah. So when we pray for you this morning, we're not praying, Lord, if it be your will. We know what God's will is. We're praying in faith, believing that God wants to do it. Hallelujah. Get that doubt out of your mind. God loves you. He wants you whole. Whether you get there this morning or whether it's a journey, you're going to get there in faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the power of the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, it's so wonderful what you did for us. And Lord, we want to never neglect these wonderful truths. We can be so muzzied, so grayed, Father, so distracted by so many things that are going on that sometimes we forget the joy of these wonderful, simple, eternal truths. May that clarity be in our hearts and minds this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for every person that is here today. I thank you that you know every individual, every hair on every head of every person here this morning. You know the number, Lord. This is awesome. Beyond our imagining, but you love each one here this morning. Father, as we are here in your presence, we're reaching out to you, Father. We want to submit our lives to you. We want to be clean from sin. Lord, we want to be whole, body, soul, and spirit this morning. Lord, as I pray now, Lord, for each person, I take authority in the name of Jesus Christ over every devil, over every lie, over every work of the enemy. I declare him bound in this place in Jesus' name. And I declare your victory now in every person in Jesus' name. If you have a need this morning, if it's physical, you need healing. If it's mental, you need release. If you need to get right with God this morning, if you're not sure that you're saved, that you're going to heaven, I want you to come from your seat to the front of the meeting right now. Don't delay. Do it right now. Don't worry about the person next to you, what anyone will think. If you would like to receive prayer this morning, if you would like God to touch you as a step of faith towards God, Jesus always made people take steps of faith. To the man with the withered arm, he said, stretch it out. He couldn't do it. But when we begin towards God, he helps us. I want you to take a step by coming forward this morning. We're going to pray in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.